his anger. Even though he didn't obtain any benefits, gaining skill levels was its own reward. Then he turned to the next step, which was selecting his new path, hopefully something actually useful. A vein in his temple twitched, and Randidly took several deep breaths, promising himself to take his anger out on the next spear user that Shaw let him challenge. Heretic 9, 0 out of unknown. Oathbreaker, 0 out of 25. Initiate of Ash, 1, 0 out of 75. Nexus Traveler Cohort 5, 0 out of 50. Path of Control, 0 out of 200. Grace, 1, 0 out of 50. Basic Mana Engraving, 0 out of 100. Weeping That Falls Like Rain, 0 out of 200. The big change was that Heretic shifted to Heretic 9, and sure enough, when he looked, Randidly found a notification among the sea of skill increases, saying he should turn back, take a class, or else he would face the consequences, etc. It just made him sigh. There was no way he would at this point, or any way that he could. He would need to be more careful about not having notifications if it was possible for him to be attacked by a judgment. The new arrivals were the Mana Engraving Path and the Weeping That Falls Like Rain, Weeping Cloud Path. Randidly felt the draw from both, especially the Weeping Cloud Path. He relied on the Weeping Cloud heavily in order to recover from the mental strain of all of the training. In addition, it was his first path from a non-common rarity skill. But after blowing 800 path points for nothing, it was hard for Randidly to justify another huge expenditure. Instead, Randidly checked how much path points was remaining. Seeing it was enough, he quickly chose and finished off Oathbreaker, which he had for quite a while. Every 5 path points earned him a point in willpower, which was a nice state of affairs after this most recent path debacle. Congratulations, you have completed the Oathbreaker path. You have broken your vows and let your shackles lay fallow behind you. You feel no shame, but only a righteous anger. Your path is more important than any bond that they may force upon you. Forward you continue, because the path is long and continues ever onward. Resistance plus 10. You have gained the skill Rejection level 1. Rejection. May resist compulsions, Gesha, foreign influences, healing, status ailments, and other unnatural states. Likelihood of success depends on skill level. Randidly smiled wryly. An old remnant of his time with King Constance, huh? Well, the willpower and resistance would help him, so he didn't mind. And although this current skill seemed unreliable, it did appear to be broadly applicable, which would probably help. With his few extra path points, he put them into the Grace 1 path. That would likely give him a positive return, based on how he felt it improving every aspect of how he moved. Once more, Randidly lost himself in the training. Time steadily passed as his body, his mind, and his spirit were brutalized day after day. Slowly but surely, Randidly grew less angry, becoming more grounded. He almost enjoyed the abuse, throwing himself into it with wild abandon. Shaw pressed him harder and harder through their progress into the northeast area. Marco would easily destroy Randidly's stance, shattering his confidence. Then he would read words left by a spear user 2 dozen or so years ago, and he would almost pass out every time he tried to read that first line on the 5th page. It was depressing. But there was progress. He pressed and pressed, and he was able to gaze for longer and longer on the back of death before it paused, as if it noticed him, and would then turn, forcing him out of his focus. Knowing Shaw secretly observed the process, Randidly refused to give up. Shaw's relationship with his father was clearly complex, and Randidly understood that. He hated his own father, hated him with every ounce of his being. Had his father left him a job, Randidly held no doubt he would have dutifully completed it. This was that same thing for Shaw. He would seek out an heir for his father's legacy, even though Shaw wanted no part of it. That didn't mean Shaw wanted to die. and so randomly continued to try, moving forward, word by word. The second anniversary of their arrival in the Badlands came and went, and Randedly's eyes were slightly glassy, worn to the edge of sanity. Still, he pushed. Every day, and those days he found himself slightly improving, Randedly pushed harder, seeking not just improvement, but actual results. And the number of sentences he could read grew, one word at a time. Soon he could make it through half the page without being forced away. Then 3/4, then 4/5, slowly approaching the complete picture for the move Shaw could not master. The Phantom's Embrace. Shaw brooded over the fire. Marco Polo sat next to them, as his disciple once more tried to read the diary. There had been progress, significant progress, though a lot of it was in his disciple's spear skill. The scariest part were the things that were hard to quantify. Randedly's recovery speed, his work ethic, the viciousness with which he wielded a spear, his spells and tactics in a fight. His stance, his battle intent, all were transformed by the pressure cooker of their time in the prison. His disciple's personality, too, was gradually changing under the incredible pressure he withstood through training, becoming more centered around gallows humor, more sardonic, pessimistic. Randedly had always been reserved, and this Shaw appreciated. But his slightly acidic sense of isolation was growing to an almost ridiculous degree. The boy barely spoke a word, if not directly asked a question. He would just wait for the order of the day and throw himself into it. It made sense. His disciple had endured the system for too short a time.
"This might be his limit,"
Marco commented, looking carefully at Shaw.
"Too much time in the prison will twist him into something unreliable."
Shaw just nodded. This was true. His disciple was settling too much into life here, and gaining bad habits through repetitions. This was probably as close as they could come to getting him battle ready. More skill levels would be useful,
but it will still take some time to leave,
Shaw said aloud, gazing up at the mountain on which the prison sat.
Preparations must be made. Ideally, we would want another powerful individual, one willing to offend and attack guards, in order to cause a distraction.
If you need a distraction like that, I have an idea.
Both Shaw and Marco turned, surprised. Randedly stood there, rubbing his chin, his voice raspy and his eyes somewhat gaunt. Chapter 77. Helen looked around disgustedly at the boat. Without the presence of the ghost hound and his master's tassels, they basically encountered no trouble. They simply drifted, no longer progressing deeper into Catal, but also not drifting farther out. It was widely understood that although those two were no longer here, it did not mean they would not return. Though the circling vultures stopped challenging them, they never stopped watching, which removed the only activity Helen enjoyed from their daily routine. After all, the challengers were just starting to be around the artisan level, and Develtian still managed to defeat them without getting up from his seated position. It was inspiring. Meanwhile, both Helen and the male spear attendant continued to train. It was almost infuriating to train next to that idiot. He seemed to be filled with an almost erotic fixation with training ever since he was sent flying in that strange energy incident. Sure, it was clear he'd developed a move, but it was fucking weird that such a painful event in his past now animated him. Being knocked out and sent cartwheeling through the air, crashing into the river, did not seem fun to Helen. Although perhaps that was just the kind of sicko the male spear attendant was. He liked that everyone had been too busy paying attention to the ghost hound to even remember to fish him out of the murky waters, finding pleasure in nearly drowning. Sighing and shaking her head, Helen wondered how she'd landed among such weird company. They definitely weren't her typical crowd. At first it was enjoyable, but now Helen wanted just one of these male idiots to take an extra second to gaze at her face,
or to catch one of them dipping their eyes downward for a quick peek at her assets. But they didn't. Not one of them cared she was a woman. "Fucking prude-ass bitches," she muttered, gazing out at the water. Then she turned because something strange happened. Develtian stood.
"We must go," he said seriously.
Helen found herself nodding right along with the male spear attendant and immediately rushing to get her things, because even if she was unsatisfied with the conditions, she would follow them. She'd made an oath, and more importantly, they were strong. In this world, that was the ultimate draw. They snuck away, leaving their boat without a single tassel, ghosting out of the city of Catal across the decks of other ships. They trekked across the countryside, and Helen muttered furiously to herself the entire time, wondering where they were going, why they were going there, and why fucking Develtian set such a ridiculous pace. She realized some of it was heard by her two companions, but they simply ignored it. The male spear attendant, because he seemed to fear her. Which was the correct response, in her mind. Develtian, because it appeared to amuse him, which only irritated her further. There was really nothing she could do but follow. They traveled through the short road to Tomcat and encountered bandits twice. Develtian merely had to look and was able to send most of them packing. Their cross-country run continued, and several hours later, they arrived in Tomcat. It was a smaller city than Catal, only by a little, yet it was a city with a much higher average strength of person. Whereas Catal was a city stuffed with large families of poor and struggling styles, Tomcat was an austere mountain city, filled with highly trained spear users. Although there was no one at the pontiff level, adepts were more commonly seen in Tomcat, usually passing through on their way either to or from the central region, from the capital of the northern region. Rumor had it the first spear of Tomcat was a top-level adept, very close to breaking through to the pontiff level. Even spear users at the level of artisan would be tempted by the opportunity to train under such a figure. When they arrived, after a brief stop in the markets, as the other group overrepresented here was the merchant population, Develtian led them towards a small, squat, walled-off area in the eastern side of Tomcat. A quiet word and a coin were exchanged with an old woman, who smiled, took the money, and beckoned them into her home. They were led up to the attic, which allowed them to clamber out a window and onto a rather cozy and comfortable roof area. And there they waited. Develtian assumed his typical sitting position. The male spear attendant, seemingly oblivious of their change of venue, immediately resumed his training. Helen stared from one to the other. Were they really going to just sit here? For the first time since she had become a spear attendant, she made no attempt to control her twisting scowl. She marched up to Develtian and said, "What the fuck are we doing?"
"Waiting,"
he answered, not even opening his eyes. Helen crossed her arms and began to tap her foot. Her teeth were grinding in a very audible way as she struggled to control her temper. Develtian just sat there. Minutes ticked past.
"Why?"
Helen managed to say, sliding the word out between her grinding teeth.
"To break Shawl and the boy out of Tomcat's prison."
Still, his eyes remained closed, and he raised his hand and began to move his finger like the conductor in an orchestra, barely paying attention to her. At that answer, her eyebrows shot upwards.
To break them out of the prison?
Helen sputtered, her mind reeling. Even the male spear attendant, oblivious as he was to all things, slowed in his training and stopped. They both gaped at the sitting man. He, of course, continued to move his finger, and the air around him became filled with a strange music and the ghostly images of flowing spears. Although he appeared to be doing some sort of training, this was one of the moments where Helen couldn't control her mouth and didn't really want to.
"Breaking them out of prison? Are you fucking defective? That's a direct challenge to the first spear's honor. He'll personally come to deal with the Neanderthals that attempted such a thing. He's almost a pontiff and will fuck us to bits."
The images fell away, and Develtian slowly opened his eyes.
Strangely, when Helen looked into the old man's eyes, the image of floating spears was even more powerful there. It was so vicious, she stumbled backward, her instincts warning her of something terrible impending in her future. Devaltian just chuckled and closed his eyes again.
There is a large difference between a powerful adept and a pontiff. As long as it is the former, we should be able to manage it. But of course, if you feel fear, hide. Otherwise, sharpen yourselves. At this level, you simply need to stall small fries until we get them out. The actual heavy lifting will be done by them. We are just the getaway team.
The male spear attendant nodded seriously to Develtian's words and began to work on his created move. Helen sat back on her heels, feeling like she should be furious about the idiocy they displayed. But still, a very deep animalistic part of her, the part that was the source of her anger and vitriolic words, shivered with pleasure. Although it was incredibly dangerous, this was exactly the sort of disobedient and domineering thing her inner part wanted. Helen had survived thus far through caution and a careful monitoring and regulating of that part of herself. This was not a cautious move. Maybe that was why the ghost hound had an irresistible draw on her. Because he was a man who stepped forward, against impossible odds, spitting in the face of fate. He risked his life and reveled in it. This prison break was just another typical day for him. And she wanted that life. It was something she could not resist. So, in spite of herself, she began to train, working on her three flowing moves that had given her so much success in the past. Even now, she could still feel small wisps of that strange energy clinging to her, helping her improve at a pace that would have been impossible in the past. It came in spurts and epiphanies, and it, too, was a gift from the ghost hound. Acidically, it whispered the ways she would kill all of them for putting her through this, and Helen smiled and prepared. Claptrap looked with a horrified expression out across the boat. It had been an excellent week. The crashing wave style was very pleased with the improved quality of the armors, but of course Claptrap only had so many, and he knew the ghost hound was leaving soon. He had hoped to get another batch finished. The prophets seemed to dance before their eyes. However, when Claptrap went to visit, he found the ghost hound was gone, and his old man protector, and his master, and his two spear attendants. Of course, the boat wasn't empty. As with any boat without a tassel, it seemed Mr. Izzot annexed it, opening another branch shop at this location. Chapter 78. His idea was a simple one, and both Shawl and Marco were intrigued by the prospect. And because they really didn't have any other choice, they decided to run with it. To use the descent of the judgment as a distraction to escape. Marco wanted to ask a lot of questions about what a judgment was, but some very direct looks from Shawl silenced him before he could even open his mouth. Randidly admitted he wasn't entirely sure how powerful it would be, but it would surely be some sort of distraction. While Shawl upped the intensity of the training with Randidly, Marco left, heading into the western area to find any fish who would bite at the possibility of an escape plan. They didn't have much hope, what with the number of guards they needed to force their way through. It would be better with more powerful individuals on their side. And as some of the people in the western area were approaching the adept level, it was well worth their time to recruit. Months dragged on, and although Randidly received many more skill levels, increasing and spending his path points, there was no change in the heretic path. Randidly held out hope it would tick forward when he finished the Grace One path. It did not. Although he received an interesting move for his completion bonus for the path. Congratulations, you have completed the Grace One path. Your steps are light and even, and although the path is slowly falling away around you, you maintain your pace. You have your goals, and although the trials may be difficult, you will not halt. Willpower plus 5, stamina per level plus 2. You have gained the skill Body Control, Freeze, level 1. Body Control, Freeze. Stop your current movement, becoming completely still. Time it takes to completion decreases with skill level. Stamina consumption decreases with skill level. Small health penalties may apply, but decrease with skill level. The move sounded interesting, and after he tried it once, he was able to experiment with it a little during fights. Even Marco was slightly taken aback when Randidly was able to actually land an attack on him. He was swiftly defeated, however, and each subsequent use was less and less effective. Still, it proved the viability of it as a move in high-level fights. After that, Randidly poured his path points into Fighting Proficiency 2, 0 out of 75, which he unlocked by getting Fighting Proficiency up to level 80. The constant battles were certainly dealing dividends in a lot of ways. He steadily pushed his way into the Northeast region, where a huge amount of spear users at his level resided, who used very different fighting styles. Some were even members of respected styles of the Spearman School, and Shawl encouraged, basically forced, Randidly to challenge them all, testing his limits. The real problem was that there didn't seem to be any change in the heretic path. After thinking about it, it did indeed make sense. Usually the heretic didn't really notice his quantitative increases. It was qualitative that was the issue. That last time, what brought down the judgment was not the path points, but the evolution of his soul skill and the creation of his unique skill. Randidly was also aware he was not training his self-taught skill currently, and wondered whether that was a good thing. He consulted with Shawl, who just shook his head in disgust.
"One thing at a time, my idiot disciple. You are not a genius. You simply have good teachers."
Randidly let it lie for now. Besides, Shawl was right. The entire reason he'd grown this strong was due to Shawl. Which was why he would put himself through such hell in order to help him. They had been in the prison for so long, Donnyton had mostly faded from his mind. Lyra was just a pretty face he had difficulty picturing. Meanwhile, his life as a normal person before the system began to recede into the shadows, at least partially. As his life faded away, some parts of it began to stick out. His relationship with his parents, Sydney and Ace. His loneliness and frustration. For much to Randidly's surprise, that loneliness was beginning to come back. They had been in this prison, existing with a lifestyle that was too austere. He'd radically changed his situation, but his body and soul weren't so easily swayed. During his brief breaks, he reminisced fondly of those days when porn was readily available. It would be nice to have some sort of relief from the constant training. Although he allowed small indulgences, Randidly never swayed from his path forward. Strength was always moving further away. Everyone else was reaching for the same survival you were. There wasn't time to waste. He worked towards having the judgment descend in a controlled fashion and began practicing the moves taught to him by Bert. He was a little rusty at first, but he swiftly regained the tempo for those exhausting moves. He focused on the powerful images of roots inside of him, even going so far as to create huge roots to look at and feel, adding detail. Slowly but surely, the ether within him began to pulse. In order to see the changes, he stopped taking the black potion for a week, working tirelessly on the move. It was coalescing in his chest, and just as he received a notification that the self-made move was 99% finished, a notification popped up. Warning. You have long walked upon the path of the heretic, but you are rapidly approaching a crossroads. That path lies through a judgment of greatly increased power. This gave him hope. The first of two warnings. If he truly wanted to be sure, he needed to get to the second. Randidly threw himself back into training, this time focusing on engraving and spells, especially incinerating Bolt, in order to deal with the judgment. Marco Polo returned during this time with positive news, telling of a few individuals who were willing, if Shaw would demonstrate his strength as proof that it was possible. Shaw snorted and went along with Marco, leaving Randedly alone. The small spark of loneliness inside of him grew, but he continued to ignore it, instead throwing himself more violently into fights with nearby spear users. There was something about battle. It was peaceful. It helped him come to terms with his situation, or at least work off some of the related aggression from being stuck in the same place for all this time. During those fights, Randedly started to realize everyone else was the same. They fought and fought, with almost a crazed gleam in their eyes, because the alternative was shutting down and losing yourself to the unending boredom. Randedly wasn't sure if this imprisoning punishment would do much to teach spear users what they did was wrong, but it would surely act as a deterrent. And it would drag out the ferocity and potential of those spear users thrown into the lion's den that was the Badlands. There was a strange moment once while Shaw and Marco were gone. Randedly maintained his camp along the inward circle of the Badlands, nearest the prison, although the competition was fiercer here. A group of four people escaped from the prison, with light pursuit from the guards behind them. As they ran towards his area, Randedly glanced over and activated Eyes of the Spear Phantom, looking north. As he thought, the individual above him, Telif, a man with bandages over his eyes and an annoyingly firm defense, also saw the escapees, and also turned to look at Randedly. They smiled at each other. Fresh meat needed to be taught the ropes. When they arrived, Telif and Randedly casually moved in towards where the four were hyperventilating. They scrambled to their feet. Randedly, doing his best Shaw impression, lowered his voice and growled, "Produce your spear and take a stance." And for effect, he removed the huge obsidian spear that once belonged to the Devourer. The four just goggled, doing nothing. Randedly hesitated, unsure of what to do. Telif stepped forward and struck with his weapon, cracking the sternum of the closest one. That man fell backwards, moaning. The others quickly produced their spears. Randedly rushed forward, using a simple stab, and the leader stepped up to meet him. It was a beautiful counter that man used, and had their weapons struck, it definitely seemed like the counter was so powerful it would have overwhelmed Randedly and dealt him a grievous wound. But Marco taught Randedly that was not how the game was played. Instead, Randedly twisted his attack and used Ghastly Slash, causing the other's counter to miss, and sheared off the man's leg. The rest were easily dealt with, and Telif coldly explained that the weak gathered in the south, the strong in the west, and how the circle worked, and then left. Randedly left too, unable to ignore the bitter tears those men cried, as half dead and sleep-deprived, they were forced to get up and leave. Back at the camp, Randedly sat for a long time, remembering everything that happened to him since the system came. And even though he'd come so far, there were still many individuals in the north and west more powerful than him. He couldn't deny the flash of joy in that fight, defeating an enemy who had superior skill levels. He liked this strength. Stoically, Randedly resumed his training, because the other thing that those men reminded him of was that failure was not an option right now. Losing a fight sometimes meant losing your life. And that was everything. Chapter 79. It was another few weeks, but Randedly finally received the notification he was waiting for, although it came in a form that was a little different than expected. Warning, you have long walked upon the path of the heretic, but now the cusp of the crossroads lay before you. Proceed directly to the nearest village for assistance. Should you proceed, judgment shall descend in all its glory. Also available to you is the option to proceed down the path Heretic 9. Doing so will transform you, but still allow you to exist within the realm of the system. Please see the nearest village spirit if you have any questions. The last part was new, although it was basically information he already intuited about the heretic path. The only question was how this transformation worked. It almost seemed like it was not a class, but something else. Either way, Randley wasn't willing to give in and find out at this point, especially because preparations on other fronts were proceeding well for the breakout. Two men and a woman had returned with Shawl, a small, slight man with a mustache, a woman whose skin was a brilliant golden color, and a scarred man. In addition to them, Telef approached and asked to be part of it, offering to be Randedly's spear attendant in exchange. Shawl shrugged and left the decision up to Randedly. Picturing the brutality with which they attacked those new arrivals, Randedly nodded and gained himself another spear attendant. Later, when he was alone with Marco, Randedly asked why Shawl seemed ambivalent about Telef's presence. Marco chuckled.
That one is very close to the artisan level, without the benefit of a style behind him. Taking him with us, if he survives the escape, and giving him access to some sort of teachings would produce a powerful ally in the future.
If he's close to the artisan level, Randedly said slowly, does that mean I am also close to being an artisan?
Likely not, Marco said, shaking his head. The tests for the different levels are very specific. You are a combination of a lot of things. Your many small strengths make you resourceful and resilient. The artisan test involves a single skill, with requirements of a certain level of offensive or defensive power, and also the ability for spectators, those not involved in the fight, to see the image associated with a move. Your offensive power is likely approaching that level, but when you can produce an image any witness can see, that's a whole order of magnitude higher.
Mulling this over, Randedly focused specifically on image training. The ether within him swirled, slowly gathering. Instead of allowing it to come together to form the skill, he kept it apart, refining the images within him. Something was slightly off about it. Some area he instinctively knew he could improve. Except Randedly couldn't find it.
Well, it wouldn't matter until that day. But that day swiftly arrived, and the group of them, each wearing two bracers engraved with the shadow rune, began their trek back into the prison. Shawl and the three others from the west led the way, and with their speed and offensive power, it was child's play to cross the distance and break into the prison, incapacitating the nearby guards. They ascended the mountain and made it to the prison proper. The tallest tower was the home of the portal out, and was heavily guarded. The portal itself was at the top, on a flat, open area with a view of the surroundings, and each of the 10 stories that led up to the top was teeming with guards. To the north was the guards' quarters, to the southeast the basic cells, where people were tortured by battle intent, and to the west was the villas for the powerful prisoners. Surrounding the portal tower were several small watchtowers, each housing three guards who constantly kept an eye on the other towers and the main tower for people trying to climb up. Their plan was relatively simple. Shawl, the woman, and the scarred man would head to the guards' quarters and challenge the warden, who was rumored to be at the adept level. This was relatively common and wouldn't cause much of a stir, or at least it wouldn't raise the alarm. After all, sometimes a prisoner got too big for their britches and wanted to test themselves. That was why the warden was here, to put down such uprisings. And he was an easy target. Unlike killing the rest of the guards, killing the warden was accepted by the first spear of Tomcat. Although he wouldn't be pleased, and you would be forced to finish out the rest of your sentence, an influential position would be waiting for you under the first spear when you got out. While the guards focused on this challenge to the warden, the mustached man, with Randedly on his back, would activate the shadow bracer and attempt to climb up the central tower, with Marco and Telef distracting the watchtowers on the side. Once they ascended to the top, the mustached man would kill any guards nearby, and Randedly would call down the judgment. There was a very easy way for them to lose this gamble. If a single guard passed through the portal with knowledge of their attempt, the first spear of Tomcat would be warned.
Because of the time dilation, he would only have a small warning before they arrived, but the small warning was infinitely dangerous. After all, they were dealing with an adept, a vindictive one with his livelihood at stake. He would not be willing to let it slide. Shaul strode forward, followed by Techne, the woman, and Sharshar, the scarred man. Guards parted, whispering excitedly. They hadn't seen this before, but they'd heard about it. A challenge to the warden. This would be a good day. Finally, some entertainment. An old man with graying hair stepped out of the crowd, holding a huge, extremely thick spear. His smile was small and sharp, and he walked calmly to meet them.
Well, 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 it's been about 30 years, I think, since someone has dared challenge me. Good, good. And you come with more than one of you. Excellent. Otherwise, this would be no fun.
The warden attacked, as Shaul had expected, rushing towards Techne. The woman raised her spear, and their spears blurred as they clashed time and time again. To Techne's surprise, although she prided herself on her power, she was forced back with every strike. Shaul narrowed his eyes. Truly, this man was an adept, and not a freshly advanced one. Shaul hated himself for this strategy, but there was nothing he could do. Breathing in and out, he focused on his spear, feeling the suppleness of the wood, the elasticity and strength within it. Slowly the spear began to move independently of his hands, almost as if it was alive. The style he and his older brother used to dream about all those years ago. The spear with poisonous fangs style.
This is for you, Pronto, Shaul thought.
Then rushed forward, striking viciously. The spear moved unpredictably, and the warden grunted as he tried to deal with the strange strikes from Shaul. This split of attention gave Techne some space, and she began unleashing powerful blows upon the warden as well. The scarred man stayed behind, eyeing the nearby guards, ready to intervene if necessary. The battle continued without any changes, Shaul's unpredictable attacks pushing the warden back. But Techne's stamina was waning. She needed to keep taking longer breaks or slightly less intense rotations in her attacks, which gave the warden more chances to strike, both at her and Shaul. Shaul gritted his teeth, smiling viciously. The other problem was the level distance. It wouldn't surprise Shaul to know that the warden was level 70. His stamina seemed endless, and his base stats were high enough to resist their combined attacks, without using anything more than a basic defensive skill. To be a young adept is impressive, but to be an old adept is less so. Though an old adept rarely lost to a young one, no matter how large their potential might be. For the backing of stats and high stamina did more to change the space of the fight than the power of an image.
Is this all? The warden seemed almost disappointed.
Shaul snapped and began unleashing strike after strike, his spear twisting and bending, curving around blocks and defensive moves. He used everything he could, earning himself several small wounds upon the warden, pushing him farther and farther back. Although this was a style Shaul had thought more and more about as time went on, and had slowly refined it, it was missing a very critical ingredient. He had not yet created the skill set that would serve as the backbone for this style.
Well, I think we've played around for long enough. Children, it's time for your spanking.
The very feel to the air changed. This was the power of an adept. The warden stood still, smiling, but behind him the very air rippled, and a man wrapped in chains appeared. With a roar, the man hefted a heavy iron spear and thrust, even though the spear was wrapped in chains, pulled in a dozen different directions. Such was that image's strength that it could resist the force of those chains. The warden's arms remained behind his back, for as an artisan is judged by being able to allow spectators to see their image, an adept is an individual who can strike with their image, unleashing an actual attack without even moving. Sharshar rushed forward, crossing his arms in a defensive posture, the heavy image of a stone outcropping appearing behind him as he blocked the warden's attack. That image shattered to pieces, and Sharshar was run through, completely unable to resist the power of the warden. After spitting out a mouthful of blood, he collapsed, coughing.
Ha! I appear to have broken one of my toys. Ah, well, there are two more, so...
The warden paused. Clouds were swirling above the central tower, where the portal was. As he looked on, the temperature slowly fell.
A distraction?
He asked, turning to Shawl. Shawl simply smiled. The warden snorted.
It won't matter if I kill you. Your strength is insufficient.
Perhaps, Shawl said, feeling a very real sadness in his heart. He closed his eyes and shifted something inside of himself, letting go of the spear with the poisonous fang style. Slowly at first, but then more quickly, a figure appeared behind Shawl, striding forward. The image was blurry, but his skin was blue, and he wore a long cloak, covering his features. His spear was perhaps a little shorter than average, but straight and clean. A very unadorned weapon. What caught the eye was the smile. Even through the shadows of the cloak's hood, that smile was all cruelty and the promise of violence. As Shawl slowly opened his eyes, his third eye trembled and twitched open.
I wonder, then, if you can handle the strength of my father.
The cloaked man behind Shawl laughed, spinning his spear. A beam of bright blue light crashed down from the clouds, hitting the top of the tower where the portal was located. A wave of cold spread outward, frost creeping down the top of the tower. The warden's expression turned grim. Chapter 80. Randidly stood in the shadows at the edge of the villa area, waiting with the mustached man. He asked his name earlier, but the man remained completely silent. In fact, now that Randidly thought about it, he didn't think he'd ever heard the man speak. The man nodded. Marco and Telef made their move, and the gazes from the people on the watchtowers turned away from them. They both activated the shadow engraving, burning its energy while giving them the benefit of a shroud of shadow, which would make it very difficult for people to spot them, especially while they were distracted by other things. However, they would need to move quickly, because as soon as someone realized there was a challenge to the warden and a distraction at the watchtowers at the same time, they would likely shift to a more defensive and on-edge focus. While they were distracted, in that small window of time, they rushed up to the main tower. Although the mustached man was smaller than Randidly, Randidly put his feet into these strange stirrups they fashioned from leather and gripped the man's shoulders. They began to rapidly ascend, with Randidly slightly numb as the man managed to keep a grip in the very small ledges between blocks of that strange, almost impossible to destroy material. It was not even something that could be done with stats. There was definitely some sort of grip skill involved here. Although he wanted to peer around at the watchtowers, Randidly stayed as still as possible, just holding on to the man's back. The man's movements were swift and sure. They passed the second floor, the third, the fourth. Randidly inwardly breathed out one worry he had. Would they make it to the top before the shadow engraving ran out of energy? And even as they passed the sixth and then the seventh floors, there was no cry of alarm. No one appeared to notice their scale up the side of the tower. As they approached their goal, Randidly turned his attention inward, focusing on the ether that swirled within him. Those powerful moves, that lowered center of gravity, that image of verdant, golden roots glowing with life, the powerful roots that supported the world tree Yggdrasil. There was still something missing, something vitally important. He could create a skill, and it would be powerful, but it wouldn't be quite what he wanted right now. His heart and ether began to thump, growing in strength, and a few drops of sweat trickled down the back of his neck. He didn't have time for perfection right now, but at the same time... Inwardly, his stubbornness rose forcefully to combat that. He did have time for perfection. That was what he was striving for. Not enough strength, but to be truly strong. Anything else would be an endless disappointment. He wanted to dismiss this feeling out of hand, but there was something about this moment in climbing the tower that the dissonance in his move was extra apparent. It felt off somehow. They rushed up past the 9th floor with no problems. No outward problems, anyway. The watchtowers were silent, their gazes elsewhere. Those life-giving roots, those powerful support beams. What was he missing? They leapt over the 10th floor entirely, landing on the top level where the portals sat. A squad sat off to the side, chatting while two women stood right next to the portal, looking bored. Several other guards milled around, going about their daily duties, peering over at the disturbances. It appeared no one had made the connection that they were coming. And the shadow engraving was still in effect, so the few people who spotted their arrival seemed to squint and frown, as if they couldn't decide what they were seeing. The shadowy blur made their first response indecision. The mustached man took advantage of this and threw two spears like javelins, the first woman near the portal being hit in the gut and knocked backward, the second actually beheaded by the well-thrown spear. The mustached man burst into action, heading to block off the portal. "These guards are innocent," Partiv randomly whispered, but his body didn't even notice. It knew its business and surged into motion. Randomly threw up walls of thorns everywhere to confuse and block the sight of the guards, making a rather sudden maze, then focused inward, a small smile on his face. Because as soon as they landed on the roof, and Randedly had gotten off the man's back and stood on the ground, he realized it, what he was missing. That cleared his slightly worried conscience, a rather wondrous toy which had distracted him. He found the critical part of the image. He wiggled his bare toes against the stone, savoring the contact. Ether began to roar in his chest and swirl. A huge wave surged up from within him, rising to create this new skill. With his eyes closed, he could see it. From his feet, through the tower, stretching downward, those golden roots continued, growing thinner and thinner, branching and spreading, soon covering the entire area. The ground around him was filled with those roots with which he was connected. He was just one part of the network. Then the strength began to flow upward from the very core of the world, up the golden roots flowing into his body, because the roots did not simply begin with him. The world tree Yggdrasil might hold up the sky, but it sat on the earth and drew its power from the core of the planet. It was a piece of something much, much larger than itself, and that was why it was strong. Congratulations. Due to your actions, you are developing your own personal skill. Skill is 100% complete. Please return to a village to obtain your new skill. Immediate skill creation is possible. Would you like to proceed? Yes? No. Warning. Creation of a skill with insufficient fuel will lead to death. Do you wish to proceed? Yes? No. Randedly smiled and clicked yes. More notifications popped up. But the one at the top was what he was waiting for. The guards were now hacking through the walls of thorns, and the mustached man continued to fight, trying to keep them away from the portal. He was strong, but so were they, and they had numbers. Several banged on massive gongs along the sides, alerting the rest of the compound. More guards rushed up from below. But the distraction was coming. Warning. You have tread too long on the path of the heretic. Although you endured through the previous judgment, no longer will it be so simple. Heretic 10 is now open to you. For this, you must face judgment. Due to your affiliation with the Patron of Ash, the judgment of the Patron of Frostbite descends. Know that even if you endure through the judgment, more will follow. Proceed directly to the nearest village and speak with the spirit to repent. Due to this being your second infraction, the judgment's power shall be greatly increased, closer to its power on its home world. The minions of judgment will spawn endlessly. When you die, a high-level dungeon will be created from your corpse. Rejoice, for this bonus will benefit the individuals of your home planet. Randedly spit on the ground. when he died, huh? The clouds above started to darken and swirl, and there was an immediate drop in temperature. Fucking patron of frostbite. Randidly's eyes went to the other notifications. Congratulations, your own personal skill has been created. You have created the skill, the Golden Roots of Yggdrasil. Ancient, level 1. Due to proceeding to a different cohort than your home planet to create this skill, all bonuses associated with the record of creating an ancient skill are lost. The Golden Roots of Yggdrasil, ancient, level 1. Your legs are the roots that connect you to the fires of the world. Passive effects, knockback and stun resistance greatly increased per skill level. Mana regeneration increased while touching the ground. Effect increases with skill level. The effectiveness of each point of vitality towards health regeneration increases while touching the ground. Effect increases with skill level. Active effects. Costs 50 stamina per second. The passive effects are doubled. Offensive and defensive physical skills are slightly more powerful. Effect increases with skill level. Randidly breathed in and out, feeling it. Even now, without the skill active, small golden tendrils running up from the ground through the building and to his bare feet filled him with life and energy. Increased health regeneration and mana regeneration, huh? And it seemed like the health regeneration bonus was based per point of vitality, so it was a much more powerful thing and would improve with the skill level and with increases in vitality. Increased mana regeneration all the time would also be extremely useful, especially for training, especially combined with meditation. Randidly's thoughts were cut short as a guard ripped through a nearby wall of thorns, cursing. The man didn't appear to notice him, likely due to the continued influence of the shadow engraving, and Randidly's instincts weren't going to miss that opening. Randidly lowered his stance, switching the skill to its active component. Immediately, those thin golden tendrils of energy thickened and swelled, rushing up through his feet. Congratulations, your skill, the Golden Roots of Yggdrasil, ancient, has grown to level 2. At the same time, his legs began to tremble from the exertion of staying in such a posture. Raising his spear, Randidly used the inevitable Phantom Arrives. Hopelessness filled the air, a layer of bitter frustration. Clocks began to tick, and the guard looked up, finally noticing, his face twisted in confusion. Then he saw Randidly's mother, half of her face ripped and rotted away, smiling sweetly, and his eyes became filled with horror. The metal tip of Randidly's spear sung. This was violence. This was what he had honed by the constant toil in the prison. The inevitable shade drifted closer, and Randidly's large obsidian spear ripped forward, filled with the inevitable power of time. Gritting his teeth, the man shifted, raising his spear in a defensive posture. But those golden rivers of power rushed up through Randidly's feet and into his spear point, concentrating there. Their weapons crossed, and there was a sudden gasp as Randidly's thrust shattered the man's spear. Congratulations, your skill, the inevitable Phantom Arrives, uncommon, has grown to level 48. The guard could only watch, shocked, as the attack penetrated his chest, ripping through his heart. Immediately, his eyes dimmed, and the man slumped. I just killed an innocent guard. The thought was like a popping bubble. Some mental defense Randidly held about what it would cost to break out vanished. The body sagged, blood still dribbling from the wound. Chest heaving, Randidly shakily stood, deactivating the Golden Roots of Yggdrasil. Based on the speed of the response, Randidly guessed the guard was actually quite similar in skill to himself. Not an artisan yet, but with high stats and skill levels. Except with Randidly's skills, with one attack. Randidly realized before how important skills were. And finally, after all this time, he made the logical connection with how everyone else struggled to make skills, and this ether within him, freezing cold and scalding hot, and singing with a strange ethereal energy, made it simpler for him to create his own skills. If he could continue to create powerful skills with it. A beam of pure frigid energy crashed down, hitting the top of the tower and sweeping away most of his wall of thorns, and Randidly was forced to focus on more immediate matters. Chapter 81. Randidly grimaced and flexed his numbing fingers. He fucking hated the cold. This was not the invigorating cold of ether. This was a restrictive, controlling cold that tried to devour him. Even frost began to form in restrictive waves on his body. The top of the tower was relatively spacious, perhaps 20 meters across. But on the flat surface, there was no hiding from the descent of the judgment. As frost crept along the ground and swirled through the air, it became harder to move. A skill deep within Randidly pulsed, coming alive, refusing to be tied down by the ice. Struggle warmed him and gave him a slight boost in resisting the restriction. Congratulations, your skill Struggle has grown to level 21. Through the combination of Struggle and the rejection skill he obtained with the Oathbreaker path, the effect eased somewhat, enough for Randidly to remove some potions and drink them. It was interesting that the new skill could be used in this way, but Randidly didn't have much time to be thankful, because another blast of cold surged, even more powerful than the first. The cool mist billowed, pressing him toward the edge of the tower. Randidly dropped down onto his stomach to keep his purchase on the durable but not very grippable stone. A strange, low horn sounded, and Randidly rolled his eyes and stood, pulling the giant obsidian spear out of his ring, and several mana potions. After a brief grimace in the face of the swirling wind, he put two of those back and removed a few stamina potions. After all, he still had a few hundred of both mana and stamina in his storage rings. Now that he had been here for almost a year, his store of materials was running low. Better to save potions where he could. Although he wouldn't hesitate to burn them if it was necessary to escape the prison and survive, it was hard to tell if that would be possible yet. Better to save his cards for a more important moment. The bitingly cold wind carried an edge of frost, and there was a definite effect on his movement, but Randidly was still able to lower himself into a stance, the passive version of the golden roots of Yggdrasil engaging to boost his mana and health regeneration. Out of the swirling mist, several tiny yetis hopped forward, their furry bodies covered in a thick layer of crystal-clear ice armor. Randidly's shaking hands finally stilled. He hated himself for the strange mental weakness after he killed the guard, but these yetis gave him an easy out. They were monsters. They were enemies. He needed to strike. Snorting, the ghost hound used Ghastly Slash to rip through the armor and their bodies beneath it, but not before one of them was able to shriek and reveal his location in the billowing icy winds. Immediately, clicks and whistles filled the dense air, and Randidly began to glide to the right. Now that the distraction was in place, Shawl should be disengaging and hurrying over. Randidly just needed to stall for a time, until he saw the actual body of the judgment. Randidly encountered another, larger group of little yetis, waving axes and great swords of ice. Randidly quickly cut down these enemies too, but not before earning a gash on his side that leaked blood. He cursed himself for growing soft after his 2 years in prison, not for any grand reason, but just that he had become incredibly used to fighting against enemies who used spears. It was an annoying reminder about the limits of training with Shawl. Somehow, these little yetis managed to surprise him with their attack patterns, even though he had met them before. On the other hand, the pain of the wound washed away any lingering hesitation. He fought now because he had to. If he failed, he would probably die. Donnington. The village felt distant after the passage of time blurred its memory, but the sense of responsibility remained heavy. In addition, Randidly definitely recalled trusting Lyra, Donnie, and the rest to defend the village he helped found. That grounded him somewhat. Donnington is why I need to escape, to prevent Earth from becoming like Tellus. Randidly's feet blurred as he pushed Spear Phantom's footwork to its limit, almost seeming to teleport a meter to the left and right as he continued to rush through the mist. The clicking gathered behind him, and he felt confident he escaped the encircling yetis. His speed wasn't something they were prepared for. Congratulations, your skill Spear Phantom's footwork has grown to level 80. Shaul was very good at one area, one that Randidly had progressed tremendously under Shaul's teachings. For now, that was more than enough, even though the time sink was quite something. Without the light of the real world, Randidly was secretly worried his sense of humor had died. Withered and wizened, it now was a corpse of its past self. Randidly slipped on something and froze, feeling like his face had been doused in frozen water. The mustached man was beneath him, covered in a slowly growing layer of snow, the right side of his body crushed by what must have been a giant hammer. His face was already blue, and not the blue of Shaul's dyed skin, but the blue of frostbite. A chill that had little to do with the descent of the judgment ripped through Randidly. The ghost hound only chortled in response, the noise edged in madness. Although they could simulate it as well as possible, Shaul and Marco could not give him this strange feeling. The fluttering heartbeat, the quickened breath, the odd thrill you could only experience if your life is on the line, dancing on a knife's edge over the precipice of failure.
Foolish warrior, you have allowed me to return.
A low, familiar voice rumbled, and Randidly looked up to find the Yeti's huge, hulking form above him, looming out of the snow-edged wind. This time he was already covered in his ice armor, wielding two hammers of ice.
For now, I will end your sacrilege. Your sins will bind you to the ground like chains.
As the Yeti raised its hammers, Randidly hopped backwards, skidding slightly over the icy ground. He wished he had a better understanding of how close he was to the edge of the top of the tower, but the constant whirlwind of snow blinded him beyond a few meters. He winced. Not this shit again. He briefly considered using Circle of Flame to melt the nearby ice and give himself a better footing, but based upon the continual dropping of the temperature, that wouldn't be much help. Even this much was enough to significantly impact his movements in a fight. The Yeti swung with his right hammer, which glowed with the strange golden swirl of energy that Randidly vaguely recognized. It was an engraving. Randidly didn't want to find out what sort of effect it had. His extremities were already numb, and his rapid mental calculations concluded there was a small chance to dodge, but a far better chance to block, even if the Yeti's power had doubled or tripled since their last meeting. Randidly hesitated until it was basically too late to dodge and raised the spear to block. There was something he didn't like about the engraving, but finding out sooner was better than waiting until he had to experience it at a time that might cost him his life. The weapon of ice met the weapon of obsidian, and both screamed their displeasure as the materials clashed. Luckily, this didn't last very long, as Randidly was thrown backwards, smashed away by the weight and force. Such was the power of the blow that the wind was knocked out of Randidly, and he struggled to find his breath as he slid across the iced ground of the tower towards, well, what he thought was the edge. He hadn't tumbled off yet, which could be considered a good sign. The wind was still so thick with snow it was hard to be sure. Luckily, Randidly crashed into a group of mini Yetis who were knocked aside like bowling pins. Congratulations. Your skill, Bacterial Regeneration, has grown to level 38. Randidly stood and rubbed his head. The power had definitely gone up, probably by a factor of 5 times, though there didn't really seem to be any strange effects from the golden engraving, unless power was the effect. Rolling to the side, Randidly lost his train of thought as the Yeti appeared behind him and smashed downward with an ice hammer. After gaining his feet once more, Randidly watched as the Yeti faded back into the blurry snow.
This is my realm. Here you cannot win, and I will slowly strip from you your stolen gifts.
Randidly twisted and slashed with his spear, using haste, empower, mana strengthening, and the active of the golden roots of Yggdrasil. Still, the clash sent Randidly stumbling, which was profoundly annoying. Randidly much preferred when he possessed the superior strength in the fight. As the Yeti followed up with another attack with his other hammer, Randidly used Spear Phantom's footwork and moved a meter to the left, his spear sweeping towards the Yeti's leg. It was annoying, but the strange creature had more than enough time to see it, based upon Randedly's slow movements. The cold and ice were incredibly restrictive. Suddenly, he regretted spending so much time on the carnage path that netted him so little. He probably would have put some path points into the Initiate of Ash path. Maybe there was an ability there that would help resist all this fucking frostbite. As it was, the Yeti dropped both his hammers, which crashed to the ground, and knocked the sweep upwards with one hand, while striking Randedly's chest with the other. As he struck, the Yeti's hands glowed with that golden engraving. It wasn't a thing on his weapon, but a larger engraving on his person? The attack was strong, and Randedly stumbled backward, his bones fractured. He'd experienced much worse in his time with Shawl and even the lightest spars. The Yeti seemed pleased.
"Perhaps you finally see it. Each of my strikes severs one life you devoured to become a heretic. Do you feel your hope slipping away as your power deserts you? I will grind..."
Randedly lashed outward, almost fully recovered thanks to the Yeti's strange monologue, his balance regained. Unfortunately, although his weapon penetrated deeply through the ice armor and scratched the Yeti, the wound was a shallow one, and this action seemed to incense it further. The Yeti bellowed and charged, releasing a flurry of blows. Each hammer strike seemed to create a wheel of ice that ground against him, further weakening his ability to move. "Congratulations. Your skill rejection has grown to level 3. Randedly's eyes narrowed. He'd grown up a lot since his last fight with the Judgment. He also didn't really expect to be able to compete with it in strength, but some stubborn part of him wanted to try. However, with that bit of stupidity out of the way, and the Yeti speaking of a weird effect of its attacks, Randedly didn't plan on taking any more. He was trained to be a successor to the Spear Phantom. It was time he began acting like one. His steps quickened, and more he shifted slightly to the side, effortlessly leaning out of the way of attacks. Ghastly Slash was his quickest attack, and he used that time and time again to harass and wear down the ice armor. This didn't even seem to matter to the Yeti. After all the wounds were only small surface cuts, and his ice armor reformed endlessly in this swirling snowstorm. They were at an impasse, albeit one where Randedly was ultimately being pushed back. And that was becoming increasingly quick as the coldness seeped into his bones. His fingers were tired and numb, and the Yeti's implacable gaze remained locked on him. His heart grew tired, but he didn't lose hope.
"Defend. Defend and stall. As soon as Shawl makes it here to the portal, we've won."
Chapter 82. Randedly brought his spear up to block a massive blow. At the last second, he swayed sideways, making the strike only a glancing one. Still, the force sent him skidding backward, his numb toes struggling for purchase on the snow-covered stone. He gradually slowed down until he reached the edge of the roof. His heels stopped, sticking slightly out past the edge and into the open space. Wind caressed his back, as though encouraging him to take one more step.
"No, thank you."
Randedly stomped once to get some feeling back in his feet and circled around to the left, warily watching for the Yeti.
"Still, it is a nice reminder of where the edge is."
The next moment the Yeti appeared, it swept with his hammer and forced Randedly to roll out of the way. That was the real change, Randedly realized. The Yeti's strength had increased by a factor of 5, though that could be explained by having access to a greater portion of his actual stats and skill levels. After all, the attacks were faster, but its speed hadn't increased as much as Randedly's had. Though Randedly was able to maintain his defensive posture, it was being chipped away, even as the ether pulsed in his chest. Because, Randedly realized, the Yeti was like him, or perhaps not like him, but an individual who practiced both physical and mana-based skills, and mana-based skills were its forte. He hadn't realized it until it was too late, but whenever the Yeti swung its hammer, a wave of cold rushed forward. And sure, getting hit with it once or twice didn't mean much, but by the 20th time. They clashed again, the Yeti smashing its hammer sideways. Randidly leaned back with a grimace, and the edge of the hammer knocked against his chest, doing minimal physical damage, but greatly strengthening the thin layer of frost across his body. Randidly growled, and the ether warmed within him. He narrowed his eyes and pounded on his chest, shattering the small bits of frost and forcing his blood to pump through his body. Shifting his stance, Randidly wondered how his feet managed to survive this, being bare. He supposed it had to do with his high vitality, but he definitely had no feeling in them right now. Still, he executed the spear phantom's footwork perfectly, somehow pushing through. Then it struck him that it was perhaps those warm, life-giving tendrils of energy that wound up through the ground and into his feet, spreading the energy he'd drawn from the earth beneath him into his limbs. The Yeti interrupted his train of thought by pointing with its hammer of ice, and a beautiful, crystal-clear flower bulb formed, both to his left and right. Randidly leapt forward right into the Yeti's arms as those bulbs bloomed, and a deadly wave of cold blasted outwards from them, freezing the ground solid for several meters. It really did seem like the Yeti was toying with him, because it didn't rely on those tricks too often, only now and again to drive Randidly closer to it for a close quarters fight, where it could use those weapons and its hands covered in a golden engraving. The surety and focus it had on those methods of attack was unnerving. Randidly remained wary, still unable to figure out the effect, despite the Yeti continuously emphasizing it. When Randidly was forced to leap towards him, the Yeti thrust, simply smashing the head of the hammer towards Randidly's shoulder. Gritting his teeth, Randidly galvanized the ether in his body as best he could to resist the creeping cold. Randidly hopped to the right. He dodged the first attack, but then the Yeti ripped horizontally with the hammer, looking to knock Randidly's head right off his body. This was also dodged, relatively simply, but the Yeti once more dropped his hammers and rushed forward, arms raised in something like a boxing stance. Just as he was about to back up, he noticed that more ice bulbs formed behind him, spreading their frozen petals in bloom, creating an instantaneous cold snap that Randidly had no interest in being caught by. Instead, Randidly rushed forward, lashing out with a roundhouse kick. The Yeti took it to the chest and was hardly fazed. It just stepped up and started to throw hooks and